Okay, if you'd like to change to turn to Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, while you got that in your mind, I'm also going to read Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Thanksgiving is important. Very important. In Romans chapter 1, it says to us, when it talks about God's judgment of wrath, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And things get worse and worse and worse and worse. And then it gets into talking about the sexual sins you see many of in our culture. And it talks about the symptoms. And we as Christians know how to talk about the symptoms. Even how to argue about the symptoms, as there's some churches who even have forgotten what sin is and the definition of sin. But did you notice in the Romans passage that one of the roots, the germinating, the starting factors of all the symptomatic sins that Christians rail up against, one of the roots of it is thanksgiving. That they forgot to honor God and to thank Him. I mean, there's a lot of people who celebrate Thanksgiving. Why do you need to have a button for Christmas that says, "Keep Christ in Christmas"? Or, "Jesus is the reason for the season"? Or why do you need to remind people who to be thankful to at Thanksgiving? It seems pretty obvious that the whole holiday is directed towards someone. But maybe we can just call it Friendsgiving or something. But no, don't do that. Thank God. Even the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah that Romans alludes to, overfed, arrogant, and unconcerned. How many times do we forget where the blessings come from? How many times do we forget to bless God and thank Him for the little things and the great things altogether? Thankfulness is an important thing. You ever do a recipe and you forget something important? You know? I've told you about that before. It's like, you know, you forget something and oh yeah, it's a wonderful dish, but you didn't put this in. You remember the Israelites, how God saved them miraculously, and they're getting manna from heaven every day till they enter into the promised land. They're getting angel, I don't know if you like angel's food cake, but that's just called angel's food cake. But men ate the bread of angels. Every day they're getting this. God goes before them and, you know, you got pillar of fire, pillar of cloud. God delivered them miraculously. And what do they get? What does God get? Complaints, and grumbling. If you read the book of Exodus and you read through all these, you know, all these passages that have to do with it, you are quite surprised at the grumbling and the grumbling and the grumbling and then more grumbling. Sometimes even after they get a lesson about not grumbling, they grumble some more. And it's like us when we're supposed to be thankful. And yet we're complaining. Oh, we're complaining. I almost could tell I was going to preach on Thanksgiving this week because I felt grumpy this week. Complaining. And it's kind of like that recipe, you know? You got all the ingredients just perfectly, right? Except where it was supposed to be sugar, you put in salt instead. Okay. Well, hey, you got everything else right. Right? So it's fine. Serve it, right? Even though it's something that's a little bit more bitter than the sweetness of the sugar. Now, certainly, salt is a wonderful, wonderful, mighty metaphor in the Bible. A mighty example of something. But I'm trying to tell you that, you know, when God wants something sweet, you're thanksgiving and you give back complaining. Oh, it's not a recipe that's good for you. I mean, God is God. Nothing changes Him. But He'd be pleased with your thanksgiving, but it's not good for you. Right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything,
through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Lisa and I were just working on a puzzle at the table. The puzzle is called like Peace for All. Peace, you know? I know they're doing a show or something over in Hollywood called Christmas Peace, you know? Peace sells this time of year. You know, peace is what people want, right? You go out to the grocery store, you go out to anywhere right now, it seems like bees buzzing around a hive. It's like people everywhere, right? Sometimes it doesn't feel that calm. And sometimes people are not in the best of moods. Peace. People want peace. You want peace. Don't forget the thanksgiving and the recipe of your prayers. Thank God for his blessings, all his blessings. Thank God for all his blessings. I might not read the Philippians verse today, but you know, they're there for you to use. I'll give you another verse that we probably won't read today, but Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. Once you get in the promised land, once things go well with you, don't forget who brought you in there and who did it for you. Don't start saying it was by your own power, your own might, your own hand. And don't we forget. Don't we forget. How many times, even in our patriotism for America and everything, it's like, oh, we're thinking about our own bootstraps that we pulled ourselves up by, you know? All the things that we did. It's all by God's grace. All by God's grace. When you start thinking about the house that you've built and what you have, all by God's grace, that you have the ability to even make a job work out, put money in the bank, raise some kids, have the ability to meet with friends, all by God's amazing grace. Have you forgotten the joy and the blessing of even your salvation? That you even realize who to be thankful to? Do you remember that time when you turned to Jesus Christ? Your thankfulness? So I think today, like, if you're thinking about being thankful, be thankful for who you are in Jesus Christ for that moment. Be thankful for his blessings, and then also be thankful in everything. That's kind of like three-tiered theme of this message, I would suppose. It's just thinking about the blessings. The first blessing, you know, with Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus has his amazing time with Jesus. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." So, according to this scripture passage, is this saying that if you give half of your goods to the poor, and if you've ever cheated anybody out of anything, give four times the amount, and then you'll be saved? Is that what that passage is saying? Okay. Give half what you have to the poor, and if you've ever cheated anybody, give four times the amount and you're saved. All right? Great recipe. Good, right? Is that what's happening here? No. Because it is by grace that we are saved through faith, so that no one can boast, right? So salvation is a free gift. I think what we're seeing here is the spontaneous overflow of a heart that's just been filled with Jesus. A heart that has accepted him, loves him. Jesus has gone into his home And somewhere along the way, Zacchaeus has heard the gospel. Whether it was what he's heard before about Jesus, which makes him up there in that tree, or the words that Jesus shares with him in that house, but something somewhere clicked, and all of a sudden you're seeing the overflow of the blessing. Salvation happened. And the tree is known by its fruit, and you see the fruit immediately right there. And it's a beautiful, blessed moment. Blessed, and I, you know, there's places in the Bible where, like, Jesus is a man of sorrow. A man of sorrow is acquainted with grief. And he's the suffering servant. And there's places in the Bible where you see that. If there's ever a place where I see joy in the Bible, it's in that passage with Zacchaeus. Don't you just hear it in the words? Don't you just hear the joy of the Father there? Don't you see it? And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." There's joy in that passage. And I think joy with that person who comes back and says, "Thank you." That foreigner. And I think that foreigner, those other guys, they received a healing. They received a healing. What we are absolutely sure of, when this guy came back, there was faith. He received the healing all the way down to his soul. Spiritual healing, believing who Jesus is. What about you? Give thanks to God for that time when you were saved. C.S. Lewis says a lot of different things that's hard to understand, but a lot of really profound things too. And he talks about his turning to Jesus Christ was kind of like this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. Because he came from being an atheist to being a Christian. And he had to believe in God. He had to believe eventually in Jesus Christ. And when he believed in Jesus Christ, he said this. And this is from his book, Surprised by Joy. The shape of my early life. At each step, one had less chance to call one's soul one's own. To accept the incarnation was a further step in the same direction. It brings God nearer, and near in a new way. And this, I found, was something I had not wanted. But to recognize the ground for my evasion was, of course, to recognize both its shame and its futility. I knew very well when, but hardly how, the final step was taken. I was driven to Whipsnade one Sunday morning. When I set out, I did not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we reached the zoo, I did. Yet I had not exactly spent the journey in thought, nor in great emotion. Emotional is perhaps the last word we can apply to some of the most important events. It was more like when a man, after long sleep, still lying motionless in bed, becomes aware that he is now awake. I just love that little word picture. His description of salvation, of when he finally accepted Jesus Christ as the incarnate God in the flesh. It was more like when a man, after long sleep, still lying motionless in bed, becomes aware that he is now awake. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has the same experience of salvation, but everybody needs to believe in Jesus Christ and to be saved, and everybody needs to wake up. Everybody needs to be woke. But not in the sense that you think. In fact, I would say that what people use as the definition of woke these days is actually dangerous, it could be a dangerously eternally deathly position. Because if you believe wrongly that man is inherently and naturally good, then you say the reason man has problems is because of a bad family, wrong systems, wrong distribution of goods and resources, all the problems that you might have because you're naturally good is because of them. And those people, this situation, this system, even the whole system of American democracy, it's all their fault. And now you're woke to it, and so now you're going to go after the oppressors. And just kind of change places. That is kind of woke understanding, and that is stupid and wrong. It's actually sleeping to what reality is. The reality is seeing the nature of your own soul. Seeing how wrong and how set apart and wicked and in sin diseased it is. Coming to Jesus for healing and Him healing and setting you right in His goodness, not your own, because our own righteousness is filthy rags. So think about your moment. What about your moment of salvation? What was it like? I give you a challenge. Write it down. Think it out. Think it through. What was it like on the inside? What was it like on the outside? Was it some big event that you came and you knelt before the altar? Was it speaking to a friend? Was it all of a sudden it just made sense? Was it a journey that you were on? How did you get saved? Thank God for that time. Put it into words if you can. It's a good thing to practice your testimony. Somebody probably wants to know about it. Give thanks. Give thanks, because you need to use the best use of your time. Make the best use of your time, because you'll meet people this week that maybe you don't see for another year. What if you talk about what you have to be thankful for? And what if you can thank God at the table or in conversation for the most important thing you have to be thankful for? The most blessed relationship you have. I told Lisa recently, you know, one of the best blessings that God ever gave me was her. And I wasn't even trying to get anything. What about you? Have you thanked God? Have you thanked God for the most blessed thing that ever happened to you? Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 15, says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So we're supposed to give thanks. How often? And when?
Always.
Always. And for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now you could say, well, I can give thanks to God for all the blessings I've received. I'm not sure if I want to thank Him for everything. But I would say that even if you're thinking about thanking God for all the blessings, do we do that well? Thanking God for the blessings? The blessings of the air that we breathe, the heart that beats, the beauty that we see around us, the ability to even see around us. You know, I went through one time that I was like going through like a trough of depression and anxiety and things, and I remember I lost my appetite for like a month and a half. People out there try to figure out how to do that. How to get rid of their appetite so much, you know? They try to do different things to try to suppress their appetites. But when I lost my appetite for a month and a half and I couldn't get it back for a while, I felt kind of scared about it. Like, what's going on? And I also missed being hungry for stuff. You know, I just missed enjoying the taste of things. And then when it came back, it's like, oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can enjoy food again. How often have you thanked God for just the ability to enjoy something? For eyes to see it, for a nose to smell it, ears to hear, for the strength that is in you that you can help somebody else in their time of need. Give thanks to God, for He is good and His steadfast love endures forever. Are we thankful? Truly thankful? You know, Zacchaeus, he was thankful immediately and gave. I'm not even sure he even did the math on his thinking. I mean, he threw out some figures there, but I think he just was so happy that he's just going to give God the first fruits. Figure it out later. And we should be thankful too. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, 7 through 36, you have a kind of a long explanation of thanksgiving from David. 1 Chronicles 16, it's David's song of thanks. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to the Lord by Asaph and his brothers. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Israel, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. When you were few in number, of little account, and sojourners in it, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord all the earth, tell of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy are in his place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. And let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Say also, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the nations. that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. What about you? Have you given God your thanks? Have you thanked him for... Maybe write a letter to the Lord. Let him know all the things that you have to be thankful for. All the wondrous things that he has done for you. We are also called to give thanks in everything. In all situations, we're supposed to give thanks. How do you do with that? If you're giving thanks for all the particulars, you're giving thanks for your salvation, okay, that's an obvious one. You're giving thanks for the things that you don't normally thank God for. When my wife hears ice in the ice maker in the fridge, she's like, what do you say?
Thank you.
Thank you. Just a little prayer of thanksgiving, you know? Here's an idea, too. It's like, sometimes you get so much rote into your prayers. You're just, like, doing the same thing over and over again. You know, like, now I lay me down to sleep to pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. If I should live for other days, I pray the Lord to guide my ways. You ever prayed that when you were a kid? Pretty heavy prayer for a child to pray, you know, if I should die before I wake. Anybody ever pray that when you're a kid?
Slightly different
version, you know, okay? And maybe you have a prayer that you do at the dinner table too, and it becomes also kind of rote, you know? Yeah. Thank you, God, for this food and the hands prepared, you know. And help us to remember the needs of others, whatever, you know. Rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, yay, God, whatever. You have a certain thing you go through. And, you know, there's something in Deuteronomy that I read about, like how, you know, after you've had your fill, you know, give thanks to God. And I thought, you know, it says something like that. And I was thinking, well, that kind of says put the prayer after the meal, you know? So it's good to pray before the meal. But I would challenge you to, even if you say, thank you for this meal, and you start eating, pray after the meal. And you might even pray and say, that was really satisfying. Praise the Lord. And we had really good discussion today, Lord. I appreciated that. You know, you pray like, oh, Lord, thanks for getting us through this. Whatever. Or God, her succotash wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I survived it. You know, whatever. But you might actually have some prayers that have some more particularity to it. You know, like, oh, Lord, I forgot how much I love a good pumpkin pie. Oh, Lord, thank you for that. Or God, thank you for whatever. You know? Try to do some different things with your thankfulness, too, because I bet you some of your thankfulness has gotten a little stale to you. And if it's gotten a little stale to you, maybe it's gotten a little stale to the Father's ear, too. Freshen up your thanksgiving and thank God for different things. You know? I told you before, like, when you're putting on your clothes, you can pray for, like, the tag. And like, oh, Lord, please bless this nation. I read about this in that book, you know, This nation really needs your help, and I read about this person or that person. You could do that. You could thank God for the person who made it. We try to stay away from things made in China, but if we have something made in China or something, you know, thank God. Maybe there's a prisoner who is making this for me. Thank you, Lord, for their work. May they be blessed. May they be protected. May the government get their eyes off of them. May the camera placed in front of their church not work. You know, you can pray prayers of thanksgiving that can lead into other prayers, but you know you can also pray prayers when it gets a little dark. You can also pray prayers then too, you know. What can you pray for when, you know, a deer hits your car? What can you pray for in thanksgiving? When, you know, when all of a sudden, it just, you know, I remember one time we went to the bank and found out that the person who went to the bank after us like stole money from us from the ATM. Right? Was that how did it go, Lisa?
The people in the bank.
The people in the bank
who wrote down the deposits deposited our money in the person behind us.
Okay, so it was a bank that did stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You saved me from slander. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But the person who was working at the bank put our money in somebody else's account, and then we tried to get it back from the bank, and it was hard to get it back from the bank. And then we later on could praise the Lord from somebody in our church who had, they were a lawyer, and they worked it out for us really quickly. But something like that also kind of showed you that you had friends that you didn't even know you had, and people who could help you out. What about other things, though? There were times that, you know, maybe we couldn't afford for our kids to participate in everything at the school. And so it was good that they didn't participate in everything at the school. Because, I mean, if you look at the paper hanging on the bulletin board, it says, let us, and it has pray crossed out. And it says, let us play. And it talks about how sports has overtaken worship. And a lot of things that had to do with God. Our kids, we really couldn't afford for them to participate in a lot of different extracurricular activities, so they had to pick. And because they had to pick, we actually spent more time together at home as a family. And so, even though we weren't like poverty poor, you know, the relative poverty that we had was a blessing to us. What about you? Can you give thanks for something? I mean, you know, God forbid you have a car accident, your wife, you come home and you tell her about it, she said, well, thank God you weren't hurt. That's something. But I was talking to somebody else, another church member, about this. It's like, you know, your car won't start one day. Maybe you'll never know until you get to heaven, but maybe God had different plans appointed for you for that day, and maybe going out and about was not about it. Maybe he saved you from things you needed to be saved from. Maybe there were some people that were not going to be good influences upon you that day that would trigger some things that would send you down a wrong road and would even have major influences in your life. Or maybe because of you being stranded, so to speak, you'd be stranded amongst some people who you'd be a blessing to. Have you ever had times like that? You just see that there's a blessing where you didn't know there was a blessing, but it's a challenge. But can you give God thanks for those challenges? I mean, it's hard, but you know. Bite into the candy bar and there's maggots there. Thanks for the extra protein. No,
that's
hard. That's a hard one, yeah.
Could have been glass.
Yeah, you can always do the could have been. It could have been that, could have been this, could have been the other thing, you know. But what else can you thank God for, even in the midst of difficulty? You remember the thing, like, thank God for dirty dishes, they have a tale to tell. Mm-hmm. While others may go hungry, we're eating very well. That kind of thing. But maybe that also reminds you to pray for people who don't have so much. But the dirty dishes and things like that aren't a lot of things we gripe about, because like it's something that we've maybe taken for granted too much. Like that washer or that dryer doesn't work the way it's supposed to, and all of a sudden you're like, you're kicking it and saying like, I used everything, you know. Maybe you're not like laying hands on it and praying on it like you should, or maybe you're just in an angry mood. How many of you, come on, be honest, get angry at inanimate objects? Sometimes you've said some things to machines and implements and things that it's actually your fault. You know, you're trying to get something out and you stuck it in the wrong way or something. And you're, but it's really your own fault.
I do that all the time. Is that sinful?
Is that sinful? Well, Oh, that's a true question. Is it sinful? Well, is it sinful? I think...
In your anger, do not sin.
There's a saying I heard one time that, like, what's inside you tends to spill out when you get bumped. And so if you get angry at inanimate objects too much, then maybe you have to ask yourself, like, you know, am I angry about other stuff? Is there stuff just... Because that happens to me too, and sometimes it happens to me at times when I'm thinking about something else. Something else has been bothering me for a while, you know, and all I need is that door that I was intending to open the hallway to just stop for some reason, and then I walk into it with my face.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, but you know, maybe your washer doesn't work, and then your dryer doesn't work or something like that, and then you get angry with the Lord, and then you realize you've been using this for years, and it's worked well. And then you're getting angry, and you're not looking like, okay, what is this trying to teach me? Or maybe I need to stop. Maybe I just need a break. Maybe God wants me to take this day kind of off and just take a little rest. Maybe this is God telling me, just chill out. Maybe I just need to stop. Just stop. Because you can think about what a blessing something's been that you haven't even thanked God for. And all those little places where the dial and the washer and the dryer stops, do you realize that maybe this daughter did that, and this daughter did that, and a family full of a bunch of kids, everybody had to do the different things. So you wash it, you wring it, you dry it, you spin it, whatever. They're doing all the different jobs that your dryer is doing all, or your washer is doing all at once, you know? And we just need to stop and think. What's God trying to teach me? What's God? Because if all things work together for those who, for good, for those who love God and called according to God's purpose in Christ Jesus, then I have to believe that that thing that was supposed to work that stopped, I can give thanks right now to God for it because in God's mighty will, that's for my good. Well, how? I might not know how, but just stop and thank. This is like Balaam beating that donkey on the road. Well, he could stop and he could say, my donkey has stopped. I wonder why. And he could maybe seek out a message from God. Maybe he could even stop and thank God for the blessing of my donkey talks. I don't know, but that whole passage just seems like kind of strange that he wouldn't even realize like this is a major thing that God's doing here. But I'm just saying stop and think and pray and praise God for what he's doing because God has his good out for us. God has plans to prosper us and hope, give us hope in the future. And I know that was offered in Jeremiah's time when the people were being judged. But even in a time of judgment, Jeremiah, God could say through Jeremiah something giving assurance. If you're not going through a place of judgment, and maybe you are, maybe that's something you need to think about. But if you're not going through a place of judgment and you're getting through some tough times, believe that God, if God is for us, who can be against us? And he did not spare his own son for us. If he gave us such a great salvation that we can thank God for, do you think he's not working in the details? So thank him for the little things and for the things that are hard. Ask him for eyes to see where you can thank him in this situation. I know it sounds like Pollyanna playing the glad game, you know. But it's truly just having an idea that God is in charge. And God loves you. And God cares for you. And God wants things to go well with you. You know, I've heard parents before say, you know, I just want my children to be happy. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's been an excuse for a lot of parents to make bad decisions or to not say anything about kids that have gone all totally haywire and everything. But it is good for a parent to want their child to be happy. It's just you want to make sure it's Jesus happy, you know? You want to make sure it's deep down, eternal happy. God loves to see us happy, enjoying each other and rejoicing and goofing around and laughing and everything. God, I think, loves that. Isn't Jesus even anointed with the oil of gladness? I mean, he loves us, and he loves us to be glad too. But he doesn't want us to be glad because we're just taking sin lightly. Or because we're just taking things coarsely. Or because we're not, taking our privilege and our place as ambassadors for Christ seriously, that we can just laugh and goof off because, you know. No, he wants us happy because we're happy in Jesus. We're happy because we found our place in him. We can be thankful for that. We're happy because we have eyes that are totally open to see the blessings that are around us. And we're happy because, even though it sounds trite, commonplace, a little sing-songy, we're happy because every cloud really does have a silver lining, if you know Jesus. And if you love God and are called according to his purpose, you can give thanks in everything. Now, you know, the for everything, if you want to just thank God for all the blessings, there's enough of those to thank him for. I think you could probably even make a case for thanking God for every little thing because you know he's working for your good. Now, when you look at the book of Job, there were some things that you know the enemy was messing with Job. I'm not saying that God is giving you all your problems. Because the enemy is out there. He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. He wants to harm you. If not physically, well, especially spiritually. He wants to hurt you. The father of lies. You know, he likes to hurt people. He likes to do violence, and he likes to do spiritual violence too. So there's a lot of things that come at you that are not, you know, it's not like God is doing this to you. But if you believe in Jesus, and you believe what I say about Romans 8:28, whatever comes at you, God has allowed it for your good, for his good purpose. To make you happy in Jesus. Deep down, settled happy. And if there are things that are uncomfortable for you, it is totally appropriate for you to say, God, I don't like this. I don't like it. And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Ask him for a miracle. He is the God who heals. He is the God who keeps his word, who keeps his promises. So ask him to be your good keeper. Ask him to relieve you of the pressure that you're feeling. And if for some reason he seems to be allowing the pressure to remain, try to give thanks. Try to give thanks. He's still watching over you. You don't know, he might just even be building your muscles for greater things. You know? So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. He is faithful. In Jesus' name.